Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone. Today we'll start with excerpts from an editorial of Share International magazine. It's Towards Simplicity and Social Justice. We live in a time of extreme polarization. Very few, if any, escape its effects. Some experience the tenor of our times as a sign of inevitable great good and transformation to come, while to others the future seems uncertain. Share International aims to be a source of hope, of steady encouragement and inspiration, to flag up the importance of cohesion and unity, not as an ideal, but as a reality which needs to be revealed as an aspect of human nature with expression in all areas of life. The achievements of unity takes individual and collective efforts and alertness at this time. Many of society's most important standards and bulwark against fascism and greed, the United Nations and the judiciary and basic human rights, even truth itself, are under attack. Commercialization has been eating into the fabric of society, and much that holds society together is being destroyed. Competition and greed are seen as the norm. However, with the combined efforts of the masters and woke people everywhere, rampant materialism is on its last legs as we move towards the new norms of simplicity and social justice.
More and more people are aware that establishing social justice is essential if we are to ensure a saner future for all 7.6 billion of us. Similarly, we know that the well-being of our planet can only be guaranteed by our taking action and making our voices heard. This is a relatively new phenomenon, supported and galvanized by the Masters of Wisdom themselves. As Benjamin Krem's master has said, humanity is coming of age, taking responsibility. Men and women everywhere are becoming co-workers with the spiritual hierarchy, consciously or not. Many activists, political thinkers and writers are coming to the same conclusions, that our current systems are bankrupt and a new way must be created by society as a whole. It is often the young and the young at heart who lead the way. The future is bright, but still needs to be won. Help is always at hand, as is guidance and inspiration. Maitreya called on us to keep our eyes on the prize, our humanity.
As Maitreya says in one of his messages, "Give me the opportunity to help you. That is why I have come. If you accept me, I will lead you into your destiny, that which has been destined from the beginning of this world. All depends on you. You have to take the steps which make this possible. We have to see ourselves as one, brothers and sisters, and work together for the good of all. We are not separate, despite appearances. We are one group of which I am a part and for whom I work every moment of my life. I would have you know that at this moment my blessing is upon you. accept my blessing and live simply and with love. These qualities are close to my heart.
And earlier, Peter, you mentioned the word woke, which is an American term. People are saying that they are now woke to the problems of the world.
Okay.
So it started with the African-American community and has really gained a broader use in language now. Mm. So woke people, we'll see how that goes in New Zealand.
Mm.
We have an article here called It's Time to Build a New Worldview Around a Deeper Sense of Connectedness, and it's by the British author Jeremy Lent. What do all these ideas have in common? A tax on carbon, big investments in renewable energy, a livable minimum wage and freely accessible healthcare. The answer is, of course, that we need all of them, but even taken together, they're utterly insufficient to redirect humanity away from impending catastrophe and toward a truly flourishing future. And that's because the problems these ideas are designed to solve, which are critical, are only symptoms of an even more profound problem, the values of a global economic and political system which is driving civilization towards a precipice. Even with the best of intentions, these actively working to reform the current system are a bit like software engineers trying to fix multiple bugs in a faulty software program, and each fix complicates the code, leading inevitably to a new set of bugs that require even more heroic workarounds. Ultimately, it becomes clear the problem just isn't the software, but an entirely new operating system is required. This realization dawned on me gradually over the years that I spent researching my book, The Patterning Instinct, A Cultural History of Humanity's Search for Meaning. My research began as a personal search for meaning. I'd been through a personal crisis when the certainties on which I'd built my early life came crashing down around me. And there he means his wife died of cancer, and he faced a securities investigation for which he was absolved, but he had a lot of turmoil in his life there. I wanted my life going forward to be truly meaningful, but based on what foundation? I was determined to sort through the received narratives of meaning until I came across a foundation I could really believe in.
My drive to answer these questions led me to explore the patterns of meaning that different cultures throughout history have constructed. Just like peeling an onion, I realized that one layer of meaning frequently covered deeper layers that structure the daily thoughts and values that most people take for granted. It was a journey of nearly 10 years, during which I dedicated myself to researches in neuroscience, history, and anthropology. Finally, I discovered that what makes humans unique is that we, to a greater extent than any other species, have what I call a patterning instinct. We are driven to pattern meaning into our world. That drive is what led humans to develop language, myth, and culture. It enabled us to invent tools and develop science, giving us tremendous benefits, but also putting us on a collision course with the natural world. Early hunter-gatherers understood nature as a giving parent, seeing themselves as part of a large extended family, intrinsically connected with the spirits of the natural world around them. When agriculture first emerged about 12,000 years ago, new values such as property, hierarchy, and wealth appeared, leading early civilizations to view the universe as dominated by a hierarchy of gods who required propitiations through worship, ritual, and sacrifice.
In time, a radically new dualistic way of thinking about the universe emerged, conceiving a split cosmos divided between a heavenly domain of the eternal and a worldly domain of imperfection. This split was paralleled by the conception of a split human, composed of an eternal soul temporarily imprisoned in a physical body that is destined to die. Christianity, built on the Greek model, places the source of meaning in an external God in the heavens, while the natural world merely becomes a desacralized theater for the human drama to be enacted. The Christian cosmos set the stage for the modern worldview that emerged in the 17th century with the scientific revolution. The belief in the divinity of reason, inherited from ancient Greeks, served as an inspiration for the scientific discoveries of pioneers such as Galileo, Kepler, and Newton, who all believed that they were glimpsing the mind of God. But the worldview that inspired these breakthroughs had a darker side. The scientific revolution was based on metaphors such as nature as a machine and conquering nature, which have shaped the values and behaviours of the modern age. The entailments of a dualistic cosmos inherited from the Greeks have defined our received beliefs, many of which we accept even though they are based on flawed assumptions. We're told that humans are fundamentally selfish. Indeed, even our genes are selfish, and that an efficiently functioning society is one where everyone rationally pursues their own self-interest. And we have accepted technocratic fixes to problems that require more integrated systematic solutions on the premise that nature is just a very complicated machine, one that is entirely separate from humanity.
Continued growth in gross domestic product is seen as the basis for economic and political success, even though GDP measures nothing more than the rate at which we are transforming nature and human activities into a monetary economy, no matter how beneficial or harmful it may be. And the world's financial markets are based on the belief that the global economy will keep growing indefinitely, even though that is impossible on a finite planet. No problem, we are told, since technology will always find a new solution. These underlying flaws in our global operating system stems ultimately from a sense of disconnection. Our minds and bodies, reasons and emotions are seen as split parts within ourselves. Human beings are perceived as individuals separated from each other, and humanity as a whole is perceived as separate from nature. At the deepest level, it is this sense of separation that is inexorably leading human civilization to potential disaster. I'll repeat that. At the deepest level, it is this sense of separation that is inexorably leading human civilization to potential disaster. However, the same human patterning instinct that has brought us to this precipice is also capable of turning us around and onto a path of sustainable flourishing. We have the capacity to build an alternative worldview around a sense of connectedness within the web of life, a sense shared by indigenous cultures around the world from the earliest of times.
Modern scientific findings validate the underlying connectedness of all living beings. Insights from complexity theory and systems biology show that the connections between things are frequently more important than the things themselves. Life itself is now understood as a self-organizing, self-regenerating complex that extends like a fractal at ever-increasing scale from a single cell to the global system of life on Earth. And human beings, too, are best understood not by their selfish drives for power, but by cooperation, group identity, and a sense of fair play. That's the teachings of the Aquarian Age. In contrast to chimpanzees, who are obsessed with competing against each other, human beings evolved, working collaboratively on complex tasks and creating communities with shared values and practices that became the basis for culture and civilization. In view of prominent evolutionary psychologists, it was our intrinsic sense of fairness that led to the evolutionary success of our species and created the cognitive foundation for crucial values of the modern world, such as freedom, equality, and representative government. Just as the values of previous generations shaped history, so the values we collectively choose to live by today will shape our future. The cognitive patterns instilled in us by the dominant culture are the results of a particular worldview that arose at a specific time and place in human history.
This worldview has now passed its expiration date. It is causing enormous unnecessary suffering throughout the globe and driving our civilization towards collapse. rather than trying to transcend what we are, our most important task is to peel away this received worldview and reach within ourselves to feel our deepest motivation as living beings embedded in the web of life and act on them. Right, now we have a small piece by Eliza Graf on the work of Charles Eisenstein, The Myth of Separation. The paradigm shift humanity faces at this time in history is a key theme of writer, teacher, and speaker Charles Eisenstein. His essay, The Ascent of Humanity, posits a spiritual dimension to our planetary crisis, which he says is essentially a collective crisis of identity. The shift in our collective self-conception is intimately related to a parallel shift in our individual self-conception.
Sounds like a lot of words. At the root is what Eisenstein calls the myth of separation. He says we have defined ourselves as other than what we truly are, as discrete subjects separate from each other and separate from the world around us. Our present conception of self is so deeply woven into our civilization, our technology and culture, that its abandonment will only come with the collapse of much that is familiar. And this is what the present convergence of crises portends. In a video created by non-profit Science and Non-Duality, that's known as SAND, Eisenstein reflects on the myth of separation that pervades our social and political institutions and the harmful effects it creates in the world. Our relationship to nature is a relationship of separation. What we do to nature, we think that somehow we can escape those consequences. We're not doing it to ourselves because we think nature is a separate thing out there. But he notes everything that we're doing to this planet is affecting us in some way. We can't escape the consequences of it because we're not separate.
Eisenstein explains, our economic system is a good example of separation realized. We have a money system that puts people into competition more than they naturally would be. That creates scarcity. That drives endless growth that dissolves communities. This system alienates us from the material world by surrounding us with commodities that are standardized, that put us into standardized roles, standardized job descriptions in which we're replaceable, in which we're no longer unique contributors. Thus, he says, we're living in a world that constantly reflects this myth of separation back at us. Many today question these institutionalized assumptions, and Eisenstein remarks that they are listening to this inner knowing that we all have, that we're not really separate. He suggests that this encourages us to live our lives based on our understanding that we're each here with a unique gift and that we want to give towards something larger than ourselves. Based on the understanding that everything I do, even the tiny invisible acts, have cosmic significance.
The world at large appears to conflict with this inner experience as our institutions seem slow to change. It's really hard, he says. No one's going to pay you, for example, to do the things that arise from the felt experience of connectedness. There's a lot of money to be made in cutting down forests and catching the last fish in the ocean, but not a lot of money to be made in chaining yourself to a tree. So our consciousness is moving on, but our institutions have a lot of inertia. They're stuck in the past. He says neither the personal nor collective misconception of who we are will remain tenable. And that is why he weaves together the story of humanity's separation from nature with the story of our individual alienation from life, nature, and spirit. And that's largely all we've got time for today, folks. So if you'd like any more information, you can email us at sharenz@yahoo.co.nz. Love and blessings, everyone.